Let me say farewell to my family at home. Jesus responds, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." In the first reading, Elijah's disciple, he was permitted to say goodbye to his family, to go kiss his parents goodbye before setting out and to follow Elijah along the path that God called out for them. But we are called to something greater than Elijah. And in our baptism, we've been called to leave behind our past lives, never look back, to follow wherever Jesus goes. We have been given a great gift of liberty. We have been set free. And there's some other parallels between Jesus and Elijah. Elijah was taken up, and his disciple was given the Spirit. Jesus, too, was taken up, and he has given us the Spirit, his Spirit. And it's precisely by the power of the Holy Spirit that we have been set free, as St. Paul tells us in the second reading. There's a beautiful way to illustrate this. It's a beautiful example of illustration. There was a man who lived a very long time ago in England. His name was Eric Little. And he was a track star. And his specialty race was the 100 meter dash. And he was England's fastest runner for this event in 1924. He was expected to win the gold medal in the Olympics. However, this event for those Olympics fell on Sunday. And Eric had a very strict interpretation of that, but living in accordance with his conscience, he decided he would not run on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. And of course, when word got out, there was incredible pressure they put on him to persuade him, if you will, to run the race. Even the Prince of Wales put undue pressure on him in order to make him go against his conscience. And when he still refused, the press started to label him as a traitor to the country. And Eric, then, he met with his coaches, and he suggested that a teammate take his spot, and that he would enter the 400-meter dash and run that one. To make a long story short, not only did Eric win the gold medal, but so did his teammate. So England won two gold medals. And a few years later, not looking back, Eric went to China as a missionary. Later on, he was joined by his girlfriend in China, and they married, and they had three children. And then came along World War II. And when Japan entered the war, Eric sent his family to Canada. So he was very much concerned about an invasion. And of course, the invasion took place, and when Japan invaded China, Eric was arrested and sent to prison camp. But even there, he continued with his ministry. And a few years later, Eric Little died a heroic death in that same camp. After his death, Eric's wife received many letters describing in various ways Eric's heroism. Two people in particular wrote on separate occasions that Eric was the only reason that they did not commit suicide in the camp. Eric Little is a beautiful example of not looking back at our past life. The Holy Spirit was given to us at baptism. The Holy Spirit was given to us at confirmation. We have received a great power, that very same power with which Christ overcame the world. I'd like to talk a moment about the family consecration, your family consecration, the Catholic family apostolate family consecration. This consecration is a very practical way to intentionally live out this baptismal consecration, to use that power that we have been given by Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to live out, again, this consecration, baptismal consecration, to grow in union with God, to choose to live for Him. With the family consecration, your family renews your baptismal commitment by making the act of consecration to the Holy Family, to Jesus, through Mary, with Saint Joseph, to strive to make God King and center of your lives, strive to follow Jesus wherever He goes with the help of Mary and Saint Joseph, to strive to lead a life that gives glory to God. Saint Paul said, "Brothers and sisters, for freedom Christ set us free. So stand firm. And do not submit to the yoke of slavery again." Of course, what yoke of slavery? Slavery to sin. The Catholic family apostolate, taking its cue from the Fatima message, has summarized in a very beautiful way in these four precious points of the Fatima message. Sin is a cause of all unhappiness. The very same thing that St. Paul says we have been set free from. And then second point, that grace is more powerful than sin. And third point, holiness makes reparation for sin and brings peace. Peace of mind and heart, but then a peace that can overflow to family, to community, to the workplace. Consecration makes, fourth point, consecration makes our intention habitual and maximizes our efforts at reparation and bringing peace. Once again, as St. Paul said, "Brothers and sisters, for freedom Christ has set us free. So stand firm and do not submit to the yoke of slavery again." Since we're at the beginning of a retreat vacation, like any retreat, it's always good to make a good confession at the beginning. And so it behooves us to take a look, at the parameters of love, if you will, examination of conscience. Of course, we have the Ten Commandments, which give us the overarching view of those parameters of love. We have the seven virtues, theological and moral, which give us that power to live that love: faith, hope, charity, prudence, justice, temperance, fortitude. We have the spiritual and corporal works of mercy that guide us as to those things that we can do. We should always be ready to do the works of mercy, but of course, as you all know, we're not always called to do the works of mercy. And we're certainly not called to do all the works of mercy. Some will teach catechism, some will help with the poor, and so on and so forth. We have the precepts of the church. And of course, the cardinal sins as a guide as to what fundamental sins to avoid: pride, lust, envy, greed, sloth, anger, gluttony. Just like to go very briefly, the three conditions for mortal sin. Of course, it has to be grave matter, there has to be full knowledge, and there has to be full consent of the will. With regard to this full knowledge, it has to be kind of like a seizure, because not only do we have to know that something is sinful, but we have to be aware of it at that moment. And so if we're half distracted or half asleep, well, there would never be a full knowledge, a full advertence to the sin. You have to have that waking up of, I can't do this. And then lastly, with regard to this, if anyone should ever find themselves in the state of mortal sin, don't receive Holy Communion. There's a lot of confusion in the church today. If we are in the state of mortal sin, don't receive Holy Communion. It is not going to give you the grace to get out of that sin. It is a sacrilege to do so. We don't have to, as we leave our former lives behind, we don't have to follow strictly the example of Eric Little. We don't have to die a prisoner in a foreign country. But live out your family consecration. Live it out, and you will be guided by the Holy Spirit. Amen.